opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
13.5 remaining. Waiters will throw in. Look out. Very close to a five count. Oh, it's stolen by Green. Mills. Ginobili kicks it back. Three-point attempt is short. Scrambled for the ball. A tie runs out. And the Thunder escape with the victory.
That was an offensive foul on Ginobili. That was an offensive foul by OKC on San Antonio. Ginobili, the coaches, the team, everyone is upset. That was an offensive foul. A blatant offensive foul. It was an offensive foul. And if I'm Ginobili, if I'm the Spurs, I am upset too. It was there for everyone to view it. Wide open. That was an offensive foul.
Pop, will it mean anything to you when the league comes out tomorrow and tells you they blew that offensive foul call on Manu?
No, it won't mean anything if they do that. Game's over.
You were talking to the refs. Did they explain anything to you that?
No.
Did you think there should have been a whistle?
Something certainly happened on the sideline, I thought.
All right. We've been awful sportsy lately, so we're going to mix it up today. But yeah, we got some sports to go with the stuff, starting with what you just heard. Let's do it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when you guys are usually in a bad mood. Don't be today. It's a beautiful day outside. Cannot ask for a better day. And especially after some of this garbage weather we've had over the last month. Should be enjoying the hell out of it. In fact, you should be outside listening. We should be outside broadcasting. But we aren't really set up to do that. But it's going to be a great day, man. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to mix it up a little bit. We got our buddy Craig Gass is going to join us.
Yes.
Who is a very funny man. So he's doing a show in town, so we're going to have him on for a little bit. We've got Jerome Solomon, as usual, which, you know, he's about 70% that he shows up. And for my Derby friends, we have an interview in the 6 o'clock hour that recorded earlier with John Scheinman, who usually comes on with us right before the Derby. He is a fantastic handicapper, and here's your tease on that. The four horses that he gave you for your trifecta box, if you hit that, you're going to be rich. He's got four horses that nobody has.
Rich or stupid rich?
Could be stupid rich.
Nice.
So, and I'm just going to tell you, you throw in one horse of mine with his four, and for 50 cents you get it for 30 bucks. It's not going to pay less than 800 if it hits. Guaranteed. It's a Fred Fowler guarantee. So, some in-depth Derby stuff for you there. And if you're not into horse racing, you don't have to listen at that point. But if you want to make some money, that's my man. I did another interview for tomorrow. That with Joe Drape, who I've been talking about, the book he wrote about American Pharoah, just fantastic. So I got a great interview with him for tomorrow. I have to tell you, yeah, this it's starting to hit me. It's Derby week, and I haven't been there in 10 years. And it's very strange because I get a chance to talk to these guys who, I mean, I love them. They're like brothers to me. Racetrack people, it's like you and MMA guys. You know, you have this connection with them that just doesn't go away. And so it's so much fun talking to them, but I kind of miss being there now, although I'll have to just drown my tears in Vegas and then
you'll be all right.
And then I'll be at Sam Houston Saturday. So, yeah, I think it's going to be cool. What'd you think of that end of game nonsense last night?
You know, by the time you look at it all,
there were screw ups both ways.
I mean, everybody was cheating. That was I don't know what the proper call to make is there because there were multiple fouls on the Spurs. Ginobili was over the line. at the time.
Yeah, that which I never seen anybody call that, but that was pretty obvious too.
At the time, the most blatant thing was the push off from the inbounder. And how there's no whistle there or even, I don't know. I don't know what they could have done differently. I mean, the refs clearly missed everything, but had they called one thing, wouldn't that have been even worse?
Yeah, it's interesting to me because so many of these games in like this now where it's just a scrum at the end and it's totally unlike the basketball and the rest of the game. And we've seen it in several instances. There were plenty of things at the end of the Pacers-Raptors game that could have been called. We saw the one game that the Rockets won where James Harden shoved off. And then there was Draymond Green tackles Michael Beasley. And this stuff has happened all year long at the end of games. And I don't know what the answer is. If you're going to play by different rules in the last minute, then you have to let everybody play by those rules, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. And the Spurs had plenty of chances to win that basketball game. There's a lot of things they can blame
they
that
blew
on.
They some things, yeah.
And, yeah, I'm just glad that
I think they're going to be okay. Let's not act like the Spurs. This was a game seven and the Spurs can't come back from this.
Right.
It's a tough series, but, I mean, the Spurs probably couldn't have shot any worse than they did. And they lost by 1 point. So, and granted, it was at home and they don't lose often at home. That makes one regular season game and now one postseason game. It is a rarity, but I think they can come back from this. They're okay.
Yeah, and I still think they win the series because almost everything had to go wrong for them to lose it, and I thought a lot of things went right for the Thunder. But unfortunately, that's just how basketball, I mean, that's how it's been all year at the end of games. The rules change. And you know, Texter with a real good point already, very similar to Hail Marys in the NFL. They never call pass interference. Yeah, it's the same thing. You can tackle a guy, take his clothes off, fondle him. You're not calling a foul. That's just how the end of game works, right or wrong. I don't really care for there being different rules at the end of the game as there are in the first quarter, but you also have different situations. You're not going to have that situation in the first quarter where it's a desperation play to get the ball in. So I know there's been a lot of talk about that today. I don't know how you fix it other than
you come out and say, whoops, we messed up, but you can't be that upset if you're a Spurs fan because your guys were in the wrong as well. So
yeah, and that's always the case in these, right?
Typically.
And when we were talking about the Rockets-Warriors game, you know, obvious Harden with the obvious push-off, but then you had an obvious tackle on an inbounds
right.
play. I mean, both teams were doing stuff. And, yeah, there was a hold going on the inbounds pass for the Spurs. I can't remember who it was that had somebody in a...
It was Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, had somebody in a bear grip there. So, it's... Unfortunately, that's just how the end of the game is. And what do you do?
You move on.
Yeah.
You move on. It's all tied up. To me, it makes the series a little more interesting.
Yeah, and I didn't want to see the Spurs win every game like they did the first one. I kind of want it to be interesting.
Well, I think that, I mean, it was going to take something like that to make this series interesting, especially after the first game. It kind of made you go, oh, are these teams really even close? And I don't know. I still don't really know, but at least the series gets a little more interesting now. It's not going to be a 4-0 sweep or a 4-1 even, because I think the Thunder are going to win at least one of these next two at home. So I think this makes it a little more interesting. And you know, again, you know who's really stoked about this? Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah, you want that thing to go on as far as you can.
Seven, they're thinking.
Yeah, and that's more time for Steph Curry to get better. And but if you're them, man, I sure hope they don't rush Steph Curry back.
They're stupid if they rush him back. There's no need to.
Well, they might have done it too fast in the Rocket series when there was no need to.
They did.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Jose asked, what time will the Derby be discussed and will the podcast be available? It'll be in the 6 o'clock hour. It will be on Podcast Arena, but I'll tell you what I'll do. Just because I love my horse fans, I'll tweet out the link to the podcast once it's up.
Look at you.
See?
What a man.
Because I care. Plus, I promised John I would do it. So, anyway, 713-780-ESPN. We got so many giveaways today that I don't know what to do. One of the things I am giving away is we've got two prize pack with four tickets to the ESPN section for Derby Day. And if you've never been to the track on Derby Day, it is almost impossible to get a seat. It is packed out there. So I'm going to come up with a special way to give these away where you know a little bit about horse racing. I want people who've been out there before who I know will use the tickets because these are going to be hard to get. And, you know, it's one thing if you win them and you're like, I don't really feel like going to the track. But for Derby Day, trust me, there's going to be dozens of people that want these. So I'm going to come up with some way in the 5 o'clock hour to give those away. And you're going to have to know a little bit about horse racing and prove that you're actually going to be there if you're going to win. But I have some other great stuff, too, for those of you who don't want to put that kind of effort into it. We got a Nothing Bundt cake gift certificate. We've got Canelo versus Khan windbreaker jackets. We've got another one of those. We've got a Pajamagram gift certificate. We got two Pajamagram gift certificates. So,
well, speaking of, Fred.
There you go.
I got to tell you about Pajamagram. You know what? Mother's Day is this Sunday. I don't know if you guys knew that. Coming up in just a few days. Get the mom in your life the softest gift for the hardest job. Being a mom is no joke, man. It's tough. At the end of the day, they just want to be happy. They want to relax. That's where Pajamagram comes in. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas exclusively from Pajamagram. Pajamagram.com. Created by a dedicated team of pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud and as soft as it gets. It's like cashmere, just better. She's going to love the way they look and feel, and it'll last a lot longer than a bouquet of flowers. Being a mom is a tough job. Everyone knows that. Spoil your mom this Mother's Day. Give her the gift of softness, comfort, and relaxation with the world's softest pajamas from Pajamagram.com. You don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, which is great because, you know, if you wrapped it, it would look terrible. Don't do that. Don't be that son. Delivery for Mother's Day is guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them AJ Hoffman with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Let's give away one of those Pajamagrams in honor of A.J. Mother's Day is this Sunday. Win a $100 Pajamagram gift certificate and get your mom the softest gift for the hardest job. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas exclusively from Pajamagram. She'll love the way they look and feel. Being the mom is the world's hardest job. Spoil her this Mother's Day. You don't even have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Delivery for Mother's Day is guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs and tell them AJ sent you. Caller number 15. Is that really the hardest job in the world, being a mom?
I don't know.
I don't know if anyone should speak out against it. You'll get a lot of hate mail.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I don't really know much about
that. All right, then screw them.
Yeah.
Hardest job is being a dad. How about that? Here comes the hate mail.
Craig Gass is in studio with us in case you couldn't figure it out. It's always a pleasure to have you
Craig
on, man.
Craig didn't say it, though. Al Pacino did.
Right.
Daddies, that's where the real tough job is.
Aren't you a deadbeat dad, Al Pacino?
That's because my ex is a whore. That ain't my fault.
I know you're a big Seahawk fan. Were you stoked about the draft?
You know what? Here's the thing. I've been a Seahawk fan for over 20, 25 years.
Yeah, you're not a Johnny come lately.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just hopeful. I'm always hopeful. And even more hopeful than that is I've been creating online content for the Seahawks, and I'm hoping to do more of that stuff.
Like what kind of online content? What are you talking about?
I've been interviewing, like getting funny stuff with the players at the last couple Super Bowls, former Seahawks. I filmed a really funny thing with Matt Hasselbeck where I've been talking on – it's a really embarrassing thing. I brought it up last time I was here that somebody hooked me up in St. Louis for a game when the Seahawks were playing the Rams, mm-hmm. and this guy hooked me up with a field pass from a local country station that also happened to do the halftime events on the field for the Rams. And I didn't tell him I was a Seahawks fan. I just took him up on the offer to get a field pass, and I showed up on the field in St.
Full
Louis
gear.
Wearing a Seahawks jersey. People were throwing stuff at me. You suck! And I'm yelling back. I'm actually flipping off Rams fans from their team's bench. It was so disrespectful. But because they were mad at me and throwing stuff at me for wearing the jersey. And after the game ended, I saw Matt Hasselbeck in the hallway, and I don't know why, man. I've worked with people who are a lot more famous than Matt Hasselbeck, so there's no reason for me to
Like Fred.
Yeah, like Fred. But I started my period. I saw Matt Hasbeck and I just went, Matt! And Matt turned around and I put my hand out. Like, come on, man. Let's just shake, you know.
Right.
Because in my head, I just thought, if we shake hands, then we'll start talking. Right?
Then we'll be friends.
And then we'll be friends. And then maybe you'll teach me how to throw a spiral. I wasn't thinking it through very clearly, but I just know that shaking hands is the beginning of a friendship. So Matt reluctantly turned around, started walking towards me, and I had my hand out going, all right, here we go. Here we go. And the only words that came out of my mouth were, you make me so happy. And he goes, what? And then I turned around, walked away. And I analyzed that.
Ruined any chance of being a friend with that guy.
I analyzed that on stage at radio stations for 10 years. And then 2 years ago, I'm broadcasting from the Super Bowl Media Center in New Orleans, 3 years ago, when Matt Hasbeck started walking through. And I walked up and I said, Matt, I don't want to bother you. I'm a huge fan. And he shook my hand and went, Craig Gass. And I went, shut the hell up. Are you serious? And he goes, you're the guy with the story. Hold on a second. Brett, come here. I look over. Brett Favre is walking towards me
nice.
In slow motion. And he goes, Brett, this is Craig Gass. This is one of the funniest comedians on the planet. And Brett Favre walks up. What's up, dude? I love stand-up comedy. And I go, I do too. And I started crying. I actually started crying.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I lost my cool. And like, I have pictures, like, of me crying in between. Matt is trying to be cool about it. He's like, hey, man, this guy does voices on Family Guy. Do some impressions for Brett. And every impression I did was of someone crying.
I guess Brett Favre, at least, is, like, super famous. Matt Hasselbeck is... I mean, he's famous, don't get me wrong, but he's not like...
No, he's not...
He's not like world famous. Brett Favre is like a... He's an A-list superstar.
But it's my dedication to the team that I love that makes Matt a superhero in my mind because he's on my team. And I'm such a fan. So I completely lost my cool and then...
Has that happened to you with anyone in the entertainment business?
No, like I've worked with, you know, the biggest names in entertainment.
When you met Howard for the first time.
Well, Howard hired me. Howard Stern hired me to be on his show, and I'd been doing stuff for him. And I was like, man, this is cool. And I've been
the first time you met him, you weren't intimidated by him?
No, I was excited to come in and like show him like I'm going to be the funniest guy on this show.
Okay.
And but every Sunday, I am so emotionally invested in my team on Sunday that the way they play affects my mood for the next 7 days. Man, I'm just and my team sucked. I mean, dude, I've been a fan. Like, there's so many Seahawks fans
yours.
Now.
I'm a Bills fan.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me about how bad your team sucks.
I respect that. And I just did a show in Cleveland last week, and there was a lot of empathy from people in Cleveland who were like, hey, man, I know how it feels to root for a team that's not doing anything. But they call the Seahawks fans the 12th man now. And I've been a fan since literally back in the day in the Kingdome. I literally was the 12th man in the Kingdome. Like, nobody was there. I was the 12th man. My buddy Jason was the 13th man. Nobody went to those games. They sucked. The password to my email for years was Rick Meyer is frickin' killing me. And it wasn't frickin'. And that was the password of my email. That's how much I was invested.
What's your email address?
In the Seahawks. Yeah, right. Well, I changed it now. But yeah, so I was in Indianapolis.
I already know it's going to be Jimmy Graham is bleeping killing.
I was in Indianapolis praising Matt Hasselbeck on local sports radio out there because Matt spent his last couple years with the Colts. And I got a call from the Colts, and they said, Matt wants you to come down and come practice. And if you have any ideas for something funny you want to film. So I filmed a funny thing with Matt Hasselbeck and filmed some stuff with the Seahawks. And I go to the Super Bowl every year. I've started creating content. I went viral this year with Peyton Manning. ESPN, right after I saw you guys, ESPN and NFL on Fox took a video of me before I even had a chance to edit it myself. And they went nuts with it. And it was me talking to Peyton Manning and pitching a game show to him. I had an idea for a TV game show called Peyton Manning Trivia. And I said, it's a game show where it is impossible for you, Peyton Manning, to get any of these questions wrong. And he went, impossible? And I said, for you, absolutely impossible. We're going to go through a speed round right now. What is the largest city in the state of Nebraska? Omaha. Where is the College World Series played at every year? Omaha. And every it was the dumbest idea. I made him say Omaha 10 times in a row, and then I went through the questions with him and corrected, and I went, Omaha, 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 you are correct, sir. You win. And it was just this dumb idea. And ESPN ran with it, man. And got like 3 million hits in 2 days. And I was just thankful that he had a good sense of humor, because Cam Newton does not have a good sense of humor.
No?
I still haven't put the video out yet, but yeah, Cam, do you know what Cam Newton named his son?
What, no.
His son's name is Chosen.
Oh, I did remember hearing
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like the Chosen yeah. one. And
isn't that your real name?
That is my real name, so right. I was offended.
Yeah.
Chosen Gas. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I'm Chosen. And I just thought it was such a funny thing. And I, at the Super Bowl media day, I said, Cam, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. I love that you had such a cool name to name your son. You named him Chosen. But I just wonder, do you ever think about the other kids that he goes to school with and them feeling insecure that they're not chosen? And he gave me a really diplomatic, like, hey, man, listen, you know, my and it wasn't a really, like, he didn't have a good sense of humor about it. And I go, okay, but were you trying to one-up anyone who names their kid Jesus? And then he just looked at the guy next to me and said, what's your question? He wouldn't even, like, and I was just trying to.
That's why he lost the Super Bowl, you know
and
that.
And that's why he lost the Super Bowl.
That's why he walked out afterwards, see?
And because walked out. Yeah, yeah, he got too tense, man. You got to have a good sense of humor about it yourself, man. But it's tough. I mean, that's, but yeah, I'm a huge football fan. There is a big part of my show that I'm doing this weekend where I talk about my love of football. I'm just a massive, massive football fan. So, and I respect the love of football in general in Texas. You know, and I got a lot of buddies who are coming out from the Texans. And, you know, so I'm usually hilarious.
Did you get into town today or yesterday?
I got in town yesterday.
And you just spent, like, because you don't have a show until Thursday.
Thursday is my first show.
So what do you do while you're out here? I mean, you just
some people from the Astros are hooking me up with tickets to go to an Astros game.
Sorry,
I had my fingers crossed. I really had my fingers crossed for the Rockets. I know it was a long shot that they could, you know, against
what are
Golden
you, crazy?
State. Well, I just thought if they could just
you must not have watched any Rockets game this year. That's
yeah, but I've always loved James Harden. Man, he's just such a weird guy.
Let me tell you, I had a better chance of beating the Warriors than the Rockets. The Seattle Supersonics had a better chance of beating the Warriors than the Rockets.
You know,
like,
what?
They actually listed odds. odds to get out of the first round of the playoffs. The Rockets were 1,000 to 1. The Seattle Supersonics were 950 to 1.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. You know what? I was never a Sonics fan because when I lived in Seattle, the Sonics and their fans were really cocky, and I just got turned off by that. And that's why growing up in New York, I just stopped rooting for the Yankees, because Yankee fans were so arrogant and they were just such terrible people to be around. I couldn't do it. I just had a defect. So and I it's my birthright, man. I grew up 10 miles from Yankee Stadium, but I remember being I was 8 years old at Yankee Stadium. I'm looking around the stadium and I said to my mom and dad, I said, this stadium is loaded with a-holes. I was 8 years old. I was eight and I had that epiphany and told my mom and dad about that, and I just made a grown-up decision. I said, I can't be a fan. If my team winning means that all these drunk a-holes are going to be happy,
yeah,
then I can't do this. So I defected, and I just said, I'm going to be an independent. I'm just rooting for players. And then when I moved to Seattle to be a comedian 20 years ago, three of my favorite Yankees were there. Lou Piniella was the head coach. Goose Gossage was a relief pitcher. And who was that guy? Willie Randolph was a base coach. So I it was easy for me to make the switch. And, you know, but they still suck too. So there you go.
How did you move from in New York to Seattle to be a stand-up comedian? Is it very difficult to get into stand-up when you're in New York?
Well, in New York, I only lived there until I was 10. Moved to Arizona when I was 10 years old because I know we talked about this last time I was here a year ago. My whole family is deaf, which sounds like joke, but it's not. And it's okay to make deaf jokes. I'm not going to.
Good, because I have a ton that I'm going to get to later.
It's funny because I really learned a lot about how sensitive people are to groups that they don't even belong to.
Like
they try to protect groups they're not even a part of. And meanwhile, the most insane deaf jokes I've ever heard in my life were from my own deaf family. Like the most insensitive deaf jokes. I took my sister out to dinner a year ago. We're sitting down having dinner, and she's signing to me. She goes, do you want to hear a good joke? And I go, yeah, sure. And she goes, me too. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell? Jesus, what the hell? Yeah. Joint Comedy Showcase, everybody. Come down to the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase this weekend in Houston.
Your whole family, they were, I'm guessing it's genetic, so were they all born deaf?
Yep, my mom was born completely deaf, and that's how my sister got it, you know, from
so birth. She was born deaf also?
She was born deaf. But my dad was born with all his hearing, and then he lost it when he was a kid. He got into an accident that popped out his eardrums, so he had to go to deaf schools for the rest of his life, and I was born with his genes. So
Do they do the, like, the voice, like the deaf person voice?
Yes. Well, my mom is easier, like, my mom is easier to understand, and a big part of a deaf person's
because that, I lose education. It when I hear it. I lose it.
A big part of
it. It's so inappropriate, but I lose it.
And by the way, that's why I do voices on Family Guy and American Dad, and I was doing voices on the Howard Stern Show, because growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk from my own family. I learned how to talk by copying all the voices I heard on TV. And I've always been able to mimic any kind of voice that I hear. And I grew up in the Bronx, and I never got an accent. And everyone in the Bronx sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white, male or female. That's crazy. That's the worst. Crazy. Hey, this is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy.
You got some time to hang out?
Yeah, I got to tell you the story about this new TV show I just filmed with Dana Carvey and Steve Carell. And then I'm here to do shows this weekend at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. So
cool. Well, we'll be back with more Craig Gass. Fred, take it away.
Right now, I got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academies. And if there's a kid who needs to drop out of school, doesn't know what to do, Houston Can Academies helps them. Every day they change lives. They graduate thinkers. A lot of these kids, at-risk kids who've dropped out of other schools, and they go to Houston Can Academies, and they get a second chance. And when they do, so many of them go on and graduate and do great things. And that's why so much, more than ever, your donation is needed. And what your donation is a vehicle you're not using anymore. Could be sitting out in front of your house. Could be sitting in your garage. Could be sitting in your backyard. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. They will take it. In fact, they'll tow your vehicle away absolutely free of charge. Your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, you get Astros tickets. Just their way of saying thank you. So give the Houston Can Academies a call at 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Get rid of something you're not using anymore and do something good. Or go to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hey, guys, I'm a stand-up comedian. I have a show idea for you. It's a game show that I wrote for you called Peyton Manning Trivia, where every question is impossible for you to get wrong. And I got a speed round for you. What's the largest...
Every question is impossible.
Impossible to get wrong. This is... These are questions written specifically for you, and I got a speed round for you. What's the largest city in Nebraska?
Omaha.
Where is the College World Series played every year?
Omaha.
That is correct. And where is Alan Greenspan from?
Omaha.
You are correct, sir. This show is going to be huge. Thank you, Peyton, and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
And we are back on the Blitz. And Craig Gass is our guest. He's going to hang around with us for a little bit. So you got a new TV show. Tell us about it.
Yeah. I'm so glad Peyton Manning had a good sense of humor that day, man. I mean, I just felt like such a tool. You're surrounded by, I mean, that crunch of reporters that are there.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone, if you ask a goofy question, man, people just look at you like, oh, man, this dick. Like, they really.
It was after you saw us.
Yeah,
so this was on Media Day.
On Media Day, yeah. And on Media Day, it's just hundreds of reporters. And the biggest crunch are in front of the usually biggest stars, which typically are the quarterbacks. And I made my way through to the front, asked my dumb series of questions, and I just thought, if he doesn't play along, I'll probably get my passes revoked.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, you know, the NFL is just so conservative. But thank God he had a good sense of humor. But, yeah, man, So I've been really lucky that I've been working on every TV show I've been on has been a huge TV show, King of Queens, doing voices on Family Guy and American Dad, and I got offered this new TV show with Dana Carvey and Steve Carell that's coming out, I think it's at the end of this month, and it's a show about people who do impressions, and they said, can you learn some new impressions? And I did, but here's the problem, is when my impressions first start, they suck. And and my friends will be honest with me, and they'll go, dude, that doesn't sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I have to qualify it and go, well, dude, it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's It's Arnold Schwarzenegger after a car accident. That way I can get away with
stroked Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So that's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger after a bad car. So with that in mind, I can't do a Mark Wahlberg impression, okay?
Okay.
But I can do something that I call out of breath Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
All right? I just need a scenario for Mark Wahlberg to come running into. Something crazy that Mark Wahlberg shows up in the middle of.
Mark Wahlberg just heard that the Funky Bunch is getting back together for a reunion tour, and he is going to rub it in his brother Donnie's face.
I love it.
Because Donnie has been, he's been the star lately with his TV show, and Mark wants to let him know, I'm back on top because the Funky Bunch reunion
show is coming up. All right, here's Mark Wahlberg. I'm sorry. Here's out of breath Mark Wahlberg running up to his brother Donnie to let him know, hey, man, Funky Bunch is getting back together again. You're not the only star in this family. And if you listen closely, you'll hear Arnold Schwarzenegger getting a car accident in the background. All right, okay. Here we go. Donnie, I know you think you're the coolest guy in the world, but guess what? My whole band's getting back together. You better watch out, because I'm going to be kicking some ass again. Hey, come on, feel it, feel it. Feel the vibration. Come on, man. You better watch out for me. Thank you very much. That was out of breath.
So on the TV show, are you going to have out of breath Mark Wahlberg? Like, are they going to give you a scenario where he's out of breath?
Yeah, that just made me lightheaded.
yeah, you were working hard at that, man.
Guys, I'm telling you, that impression can only go so far because you got to watch out. You're actually going to pass out. You keep doing that.
The oxygen. Yeah. Did you get your paper bag?
You got to lose your oxygen. I introduced some bad impressions, and I just had fun with it. I've always loved.
Is it like a competitive show where they've got other guys who are trying to out-impression you?
Yes, it's a competition. They did an open casting call. I think it was late last summer or maybe in the fall, they did an open casting call and they said, we're looking for the best celebrity impressionists in the country. And they had about 150 people come out to LA and they narrowed it down to the top five. And then they picked a winner that night. And then of the top 20, they made a TV show.
Okay.
So they put me on the show and we had some fun.
What channel is the show going to air on?
USA Network.
Okay.
So, and...
But you don't know the exact date when it comes out?
I think it's sometime this month.
What's it called?
It's called First Impressions. They're already running it. I think they're running it during the NBA playoffs. I think they're running all the commercials during the NBA playoffs. So, and that'll come out in the next few weeks. And then, but I'm just here to do the shows at the Joke Joint and hang out, eat some good barbecue and... I love coming to Houston.
Now, we had this whole discussion about barbecue last week. Have you eaten barbecue since you've been here already?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you go?
It's literally the first thing I did when I got into town. I arrived at I think it was early in the morning, and I got to Killen's right.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
good choice.
Good Lord,
it's a game changer, isn't it?
It really is.
Did you
man.
Eat that beef rib?
When I walked in, they had a sign for the specials for the day, and they had. Wagyu beef, like burnt ends.
Burnt ends, yeah.
Yeah, burnt ends. And then I went for the brisket. I went there a year ago when I was here, and I overdid it so much. I didn't think I would ever eat again. I lost my mind. I know to pace myself now. I'm staying right down the street from there. I'm staying at Holiday Inn Express, right down the street. So I am. It's that temptation. It's like. Used to be a time when I'd be like nervous about staying too close to a strip club, you know. Now I'm like nervous about staying too close to a rib place.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you where you'd be nervous if you were staying too close to that joke joint.
To that joke joint. It's gonna be a fun weekend, man.
That's when you'd be nervous.
Yeah. You know
what? If you like, I hear some people who are like, "Oh yeah, I'm flying in. I'm getting a hotel right by the airport," and I instantly say, "Which airport?" If it's hobby, I'm like, thoughts and prayers, bro.
Yeah,
you ain't wherever you came from, you ain't going back. You're not gonna make it back. And the joke joint, you're in that part of town where it's
southeast side of town, man. And it's no, but it's cool. That area is actually all right. But yeah, getting there. Yeah, there's just stay on the freeway and get out there. And They actually added a fifth show. Last time I was here, we did four shows. We filled up almost every seat of the four shows. And then this year, we're doing a fifth show on Thursday, which is a cheaper ticket. I think it's a $15 ticket for the Thursday show. Joke Joint, ComedyShowcase.com. And if you don't enjoy the show, I'll let you punch the opening act in the face. How's that?
It sounds good.
Kick him right in the nuts.
Or unless it's a woman.
And the opening act, ladies and gentlemen, AJ Hoffman.
Oh, I can't
be doing the show.
I'll actually be in Vegas, or I would love to do that.
AJ was actually hilarious last time I was here. He was actually you came out with a buddy, and AJ hung out. We just hung after the show, man. That was a good time. AJ was busting balls on everybody.
I was
after the show, like. Anybody who was trying to talk to me after the show, you came in with like a running commentary of like, oh, this guy, oh, this girl.
First of all, I was a little bit drunk after that show.
A little bit, yeah. We hugged, I think, about seven times.
Not as drunk as my buddy, though, because that's the night, and I've told this story before. Where
something happened?
A little bit of something happened. So I went out with my buddy. His name's Steve, and his wife does not like me. Like, she thinks that I'm a bad influence. She thinks that I am she thinks I'm a troublemaker. And so we went out. He had to like convince.
Should it be she knows instead of she thinks?
Yeah. So we go out and watch the comedy show, and they have those things at this joke joint. They're called like Texas Tees or something, and it's some Long Island concoction. And we have about three of those apiece.
Wow.
And I'm not driving, so I'm like, it's cool.
But you have a three apiece, and he's driving.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is the thing. When you're the driver, like we took his car, you're responsible for not getting hammered. You know, that's kind of the deal. So he didn't take that responsibility seriously enough. And now, to be fair, we went and had some beer or something to kind of – wash out the Texas teas, which that's how you sober up, is you drink beer.
Exactly.
So he drops me off at home. We don't die.
Oh, that's good.
But the next day, his wife sends me a text message and says, "Hey, a-hole, you threw up all over the side of my car."
What?
And I, of course, because I'm a good friend, I just said, "Yep, I'm sorry." Because
nice.
Steve, on the way home, hung his head out the window and puked all over the side of the car.
Wow.
And in the driver's, like the little cubbyhole where sometimes you put some quarters or something, like by the door handle.
Yeah.
Puke in there, everything. And I took one for the team and said, "Yep, my bad. Wow. I'm a terrible person." Because she already hates me, so what's the worst that could happen?
Good for you.
Yeah, I thought that was a good move.
I've done that once. I've gotten that drunk. Where
you're totally sober now, though.
I have. I've been over 11 years.
You tired of that?
No, my problem was Coke. I just, whenever I would drink, I couldn't drink and not do Coke. So for me, I had this stubborn thing of like, I can control this. I just need to moderate my partying. But I couldn't ever moderate it every time. And then I had a heart attack. And then... this is kind of
you
funny.
Had a heart attack from doing the
from doing Coke,
the out of breath Mark Wahlberg.
Exactly.
It's not Coke's fault. You,
I don't know. Hey, Jay, I'm telling you, I saw him doing that cocaine, and I gotta tell you, he's a little out of control. Out of breath Mark Wahlberg and Chris Farley impressions put me over the
that'll
edge.
Do it.
But yeah, I had a heart attack, and then 2 years after my heart attack, I quit.
Well, that. Yeah, you're like, you know what? I'm getting serious about this in a couple years, you know?
It was the anniversary. It scared me straight for a year and 2 weeks. And then I dated this horrible girl who was begging me to do coke with her, knowing that I'd had a heart attack a year ago. And then I finally, she was just this really hot and insane girl in Hollywood. And
that's every girl in Hollywood, I think.
Yeah. She lived
fake boob.
She lived a block from the Rainbow.
Okay.
That tells you everything you want to know about the girl. And I just I decided to go out and relapse with her, and I couldn't get back on for another.
But that night was good.
That night was a little nuts. And then 11 and a half months later, it was the 2-year anniversary of my heart attack. And I'm in a bar watching Steel Panther. And and it just dawned on me, like, wow, man, I had a heart attack 2 years ago. And now I'm taking care of my mom. I'm starting to pay her bills. And why am I doing this? And I just had a half of a beer in my hand, and I threw the beer out, and I just said, that's it. And I got lucky because the first year that I got clean, seven of my friends died in that first year, all comedians. Four drug overdoses and three drinking and driving car accidents. The first was an old roommate of mine named Mitch Hedberg, who was this great comedian. Mitch was
a good one.
Amazing, amazing comedian. He was the first of seven friends who died that year. So.
Wow.
Can I point out that my comedy shows are usually a little more upbeat?
Right.
Well, you know what?
I knew when I came in here, I was like, I'm going to come in and we're just going to hang. There's no agenda because I knew I was just going to hang. But the shows are usually hilarious. And, you know, if you're a fan of Family Guy or if your girlfriend is a fan of Sex and the City, you'll love the show.
Well,
Joke joint.
Hang around with us for one more segment.
Let me be funny for a second.
And you can throw all that at them. But first, we got to tell you guys about Mother's Day is Sunday. It's right around the corner. And
hey, moms.
You know what? There's no one quite like mom. Every mom's unique.
Love you, mom.
You wouldn't want to change a thing about them. And Mother's Day just around the corner, we've got a great way to show your mom how much you appreciate her. Surprise her with something unexpected and as unique as she is, Sherry's Berries.
Sherry's Berries.
Yeah, these berries are they're freshly dipped strawberries starting in $19.99 plus shipping. Today only you can double the berries for just $5 more. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, type in our code Fred and AJ.
Fred and AJ.
The berries are dipped in milk white, dark chocolate. These things are amazing.
Love me some dark chocolate.
My wife loves them. Tracy Morgan's mom loves them.
Everybody loves them.
Here's the only way to get this deal. Strawberries starting at $19.99.
Okay.
Or you can double the berries for $5 more. This is just for our listeners when you use that code Fred and AJ.
Fred and AJ.
Berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in Fred and AJ. This deal is for today only. Mother's Day is this weekend, so hurry up and get it done. Make sure you order now. That's berries.com, promo code Fred and AJ.
Love me some berries.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Tune into Soccer Matters at 7 tonight. Glenn delves into what's going on with the Dynamo, Champions League talk, plus the Premier League. We're going to try to get Glenn on last segment of the show. But you know what else matters? Craig Gass.
One more
segment. I wish what we just did could actually gone over air.
That was a little.
I wish.
I'm wearing my Pop Evil. You know who Pop Evil is?
I've heard of that band before.
Yeah,
they had some hit a couple years ago. I feel like
I honestly don't know much about them. They were just so cool.
Look up the name of that song. I heard a song of theirs that I remember liking some.
I prank called one of the guys in the band. I was doing a radio station in Grand Rapids, and they said, "Hey, who can we call?" Using your celebrity voices to prank call people. And we started prank calling. I called, they had Michael Moore's phone number, the director, Michael Moore.
Uh-huh.
And we called him. I left him a message at Al Pacino and said,
I hope you don't mind. This is Al Pacino, and I am dying to get Steve Guttenberg's phone number. Call me back. I love Police Academy. Hoo-ah.
And I hung up. And then never heard back from him. But then I called this band, somebody in this band, Pop Evil. I called as Gene Simmons and said,
"Hi, this is Gene Simmons. I have a special message for Pop Evil. I've been going through the records, and it seems that the band still owes us $20 in tuition fees for the Kiss Army. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to go to kissonline.com, click on my codpiece, pay the money that you owe, or you're going to have sex with Paul." I said something weird and sex with Paul or something about doing stuff to Paul. And then I yelled at the end and said a lot of bad words and hung up the phone. And I ran into these guys a few months ago and said, "Hey, I got to apologize to you guys. I saw you guys tweeting about Gene Simmons calling you. That was me." And they were like, "No way." And they said they took that tape of that voicemail message and they played it as their intro tape to Castle Donington when they played at Castle Donington last summer in England, that they said it was such a perfect, like, angry message. They used it as their intro tape. And I've been a fan of theirs ever since. I just thought that was, like, the coolest use of – and then they said that they did play it for one famous guy, Kid Rock, who got so upset before they even had a chance to tell him, like, "Dude, it's a comedian," that
Kid Rock said, we're going to call this prick and we're going to, like, screw him. He can't treat people like that. Let's call him right now and let's kick his ass. Like,
Kid Rock was going to call and talk smack to Gene Simmons?
To Gene Simmons, and he got so fired up that the guy from Pop Evil was just like, oh, dude, no, it's cool, man.
Dude, he should have
cool.
let it happen in reality. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I know. And Kid
I
Rock.
Mean, can came. You imagine what Gene Simmons would be thinking yeah. if Kid Rock called him and started punking him out?
Well, it's funny because doing that impression of Gene Simmons, everyone who works for Kiss is always coming out of the woodwork to tell me stories about Gene Simmons. Like, hey, maybe you can use this story on stage. It's like AJ off the air was saying, I got an idea for you for your Seahawks thing when you talk about the Seahawks on stage. Everybody who works for Gene Simmons is always telling me stories, and the stories are just awful. Did I tell you the story about him and the with Miss America, how he hooked up with Miss America? Do you remember that? Somebody who worked for Kiss said, you know, a few years ago, Gene actually hooked up with Miss America. Like the reigning Miss America of that year, he hooked up with her. And we were all blown away. The next night, Gene, after one of our shows, hooked up with a whore, a girl that was such a mess that even the guys in the road crew were like, Jesus, did you see that? Oh, my God. The next day, they have a day off in a town that's so small that the band and the road crew are staying in the same hotel. And usually, Kiss will stay at a Four Seasons, and the road crew will stay at, you know, the Holiday Inn, whatever. And but this town is so small, there's only one decent hotel, so everyone's in the same hotel. And this guy that works for the band is telling me he's sitting in the bar of the hotel, and he just happened to turn around as Gene is walking through the lobby, and he's dragging this enormous girl with him through the lobby, gets in the elevator, pushes the button to his floor, folds his arms, and as the doors close, he looks across the lobby and goes, oh, yeah. Bing! And then the doors close.
Oh.
And then the next day at soundcheck, the guy sees Gene at soundcheck and goes, Gene, did you hook up with that girl last night? And Gene goes, of course. And he goes, Gene, didn't you hook up with Miss America the other night? And he goes, Steve,
listen to me, okay? I'm going to give you some great advice. You can't have filet mignon every night. Sometimes you got to go to McDonald's.
Is that the worst advice
that
you get?
No, that's terrible advice.
Yeah, I mean, it's just terrible. And that's Gene in a nutshell. But
to be fair, I mean, Miss America's not going to show up every night.
Yeah. That's true.
And when you're a rock star, you got to take care of a certain business.
If you're in Boise, Idaho.
That's right.
Miss America ain't there.
No.
And you're a weird, lonely, horny guy.
If it's that or a dude, I mean...
Like, I don't know why there wasn't more stories about, like, Prince seemed like the horniest guy in the world. I'm surprised there's not more women coming out saying, like, I have his baby, or, like, you know, like, this would be the time you'd start hearing about, or maybe it's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. Were you a Prince fan?
I love Prince.
I love Prince, too. You, Fred?
I respected him.
I was
not really a fan, but I respected
him. I think Prince banged everybody, too.
Yeah, whenever I would do shows in Minneapolis, I had a buddy of mine who was Prince's guitar tech, would always bring employees from Paisley Park to my shows, and that was one of my favorite topics, was tell me some crazy stories about Prince. And one of my favorites was asking a guy who lives at Paisley Park, I said, what do you call him? Like, doesn't he like have a weird thing about like he didn't want to be called Prince for a while? Like, what'd you call him? And he goes...
Well, that was like a record label issue.
Right, record label. But he wanted everyone in the world to refer to him as the artist, formerly known as Prince. So I asked him, I'm like, well, you're working there and you're living there. What do you call him when you live there? And he said, we called him Dude for a while. He was just Dude. And then we started calling him Coworker for a while. And I was like, Coworker? How'd that come in? He goes, we were on tour and we're doing a show and Prince is on stage with our stage manager and he's listening to the monitors and he goes, tell him to turn up the monitors. And the stage manager gets on his radio and he goes, hey, boss man wants you to turn up the monitors. And he goes, I'm not your boss. And he goes, correction. My coworker would like you to please turn up the monitors. And Prince started laughing. He goes, I like that.
Did you hear that?
Hey. Everybody call me coworker. and everyone started calling him coworker.
Did you hear Jimmy Fallon's story about Prince?
Yes.
With ping pong?
The ping pong, yeah.
Like Prince challenged, I guess Prince was like really serious about ping pong and he challenged Jimmy Fallon and he just kicked Jimmy Fallon's ass at ping pong.
Yeah.
And I forget whose house, it was like Susan Sarandon's house.
No, Susan owns a bar. My friend Judah Friedlander, who's a comedian, he goes to this bar a lot. It's a ping pong table bar.
And that Prince is like a regular there, right?
Yeah, Prince Love. It's a really cool bar.
That's not cool.
They play ping pong?
I don't know. That's not a cool bar.
I like playing ping pong. I mean, I don't know. I think that'd be kind of cool. But, I mean, that story's pretty cool.
So Prince just, like, decimates Jimmy Fallon at ping pong. And
the last one, the game point was just, like, a perfect, like, right off the edge
like
of the
nicks
table.
The table.
Just nicks it.
Jimmy Fallon leans down to pick up the ball, and he turns around and is like, "Hey, Prince." And Prince is gone.
Gone.
Like,
gone.
Vanished.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Fallon's just sitting there holding the ping pong ball like an a-hole.
Which sounds like too good to be true, but then his band leader has a story about running into him outside as he's running out, and that he said, "Hey, man, where are you going? I just showed up." And he goes, "I'm done." And he goes, "How'd the game go? Ask your boy." And then he rolled the window up. He was that serious about ping pong. My buddy Takumi, who was his guitar tech, we just had dinner like 6 weeks ago, and I kept asking him about Prince again and saying, like, tell me some more stories. And he had a good one about a few months ago that they went to some award show, and Wyclef Jean walked up to Prince in front of my buddy and said, like, "Yo, you the reason I play guitar." And Prince said, "Don't pin that on me," and walked away from him.
Wyclef Jean's a badass guitar player too. Prince is like, I've heard some stories where that guy is just a massive dick. Like he is just not a good guy. Apparently, like, well, he wasn't.
he's not any guy now. Yeah.
But he borrowed some guy from like the Roots borrowed his guitar.
Oh yeah, and then
then he was like, "I don't know if I should let this guy play my guitar." He's like, "I've had this thing for years. I love it." But he's Prince, so he let Prince play his guitar, and at the end of the set, Prince smashed his freaking guitar. It's like,
but he sent him money afterwards. I mean,
but
no,
still, I mean, there's sentimental value there. Yeah. You know, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, he was a badass, man. I just, I had never seen Prince until about a year ago. A year and a half ago, I saw him at the Mohegan Sun Casino, and he killed. He this weird thing happened where this woman walks out on stage. And the lights dim, and everyone's like, "Ah!" And this woman comes out and says, "Prince wants you to know that he is excited to bring you his music tonight. He just asked you for one request. Please, we want you to experience tonight's show with your eyes and your ears. So keep your cell phones in your pockets. If we have to ask you more than once to put your camera phones away, we will ask you to leave the show." And then she walks off stage and is like, "All right." And every yellow shirt guy in the arena was instructed, if you see someone with your camera phones out, you tell them, put it away. If you ask them more than once, you just throw them out. And they were tossing people out of the show.
Oh, man.
But as soon as Prince hits the stage, camera phones all came out. They all started taking pictures. And he was dancing and going, "Put your phones away. Put your phones away. Nobody's trying to call you. You're in the funkiest place on earth. Put your phones away." And he killed it. He absolutely killed it. I physically could not stop my body from moving. I was like, "Oh, man,
who's the man?" Ooh. I never got to see him. That's one of my great regrets.
One of the best shows I've ever seen in my life.
Speaking of good shows, I promise you, Craig puts on a great show. You're going to love it. He's going to make you laugh. Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
Yeah.
You can get tickets at jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. You know who's opening for you already?
Some white dudes.
Okay. All right.
Couple of white dudes.
They're probably funny, too.
Real funny
they're
dudes.
They're possibly funny. But Craig, like I said, puts on a great show. It's really funny. I mean, bring a date, drink a bunch of Texas tea, throw up on your friend's car, whatever you need to do.
All the info is at jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. I'll be in the parking lot.
Appreciate you taking the time to come in with us, man. And I got to thank you again. We at the Super Bowl, I mean, we interviewed, I don't know how many famous people, big time stars. You bring in Ryan Leaf and him being open and honest about like him letting me ask him about getting raped in prison and being cool with it.
Yeah.
That was the coolest interview we did the whole time.
Yeah, it was.
It was awesome.
What sucked was we got him to talk about Manziel and how he was looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
And then nobody picks it up. And then 2 days later, I guess he tells Dan Patrick and the whole world writes that story. And we had it 2 days before, thanks to you.
That's why I hope Dan Patrick dies of old age soon.
Yeah. Yeah. He came in and he was there to hang out. And I was like, "Hey, do you want me to... do you want to do any radio? I'll hook you up." And then when he said yes, I started asking you guys, like, "Hey, do you want to have Ryan Leaf on your show?" He said he's coming in, willing to talk about anything. And I remember the look on your face. You're like, "Ryan Leaf?
Yeah.
Is he cool with, can I talk to him about anything I want to talk to him about?" And he sat down, and I remember just, I sat down next to him. I remember thinking, like, wow, man, he is really open. He is really
Who did
open.
We bump for Ryan Leaf that was so pissed?
Mike Singletary.
Oh, Mike Singletary. Yeah. Was pissed that we bumped him. Yeah. I just told our producer, I was like, we're going to keep him another segment. This is too good.
Yeah. And listen, man, when I've been doing radio for 20 years, and I can tell you that sports athletes are tough to say something outside the box.
Yeah.
And if you can get somebody that's really outspoken and really opinionated, that's gold. And Ryan, yeah, he's been brutally, brutally honest about his life and a really incredible story.
Oh, man, we appreciate you and look forward to talking to you again. And let's have some fun Super Bowl week, man.
All right, cool, man. I'll this weekend I'm doing the comedy shows, and when I come back, it'll just be for Super Bowl. So I'll see you guys at the Joke Joint.
Perfect. Thanks. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. That's Craig Gass. Appreciate you taking some time, man.
That's crazy.
All right, we're telling you about Mother's Day, and another great gift for you. Your mother's always been an expert on everything, cooking, relationship advice, fixing your cuts and bruises. Mm-hmm. And you know, my mom has been a gambling expert. She's always told me what to bet on, what not to bet on.
My mom is an expert at cooking with marijuana.
And I like her skill better than my mother's. But I still appreciate my mom because she's an individual.
She's a marijuana baker.
And
love me some brownies.
Yeah, the one thing you can't do is get advice from what to get her for Mother's Day.
Don't get her glaucoma.
No. Don't worry. You look like an expert when you use Pro Flowers. And for today only, they're going to give you an extra 15% off of everything.
What?
Get mom 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling.
Or make her day extra special. Upgrade to a premium vase or vase, if you will, if you want to be fancy with your mom. And add gourmet chocolates for just $9.99 more. Go to ProFlowers.com. Use the code Fred and AJ. And again, you guys can save an extra 15% off this amazing deal today only. ProFlowers.com, Fred and AJ, your mom's going to love them. Your wife is going to love them. Your baby mama, whoever the mom in your life is, they're going to love flowers from ProFlowers. And again, the only way to get that deal with the extra 15% off and have a guaranteed delivery date, mind you, visit ProFlowers.com, click on the blue microphone, type in Fred and AJ. That's ProFlowers.com. Click on that mic, type in Fred and AJ. Mother's Day is Sunday. So get it done now. Don't be the dummy that waits too long. This offer expires today.